Alrighty, let's call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:38 p.m. Tuesday, April 13. Present today are Senator Michicki, Senator Keel, and myself, Chairman Myers. It gives us a quorum. Let's see, for staff for the committee today, we got Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records, Marissa as our moderator, and of course, Michaela Anderson, my committee aide. I just do what she tells me. Quick reminder, everybody, please silence your cell phones. And today we got one item on the agenda. We're hearing House Bill 36, Motor Vehicle Dealers Applications and Insurance. With that, we've got the bill sponsor and staff here, Representative Clayman and Sophie Jonas, to present the bill. If you could put yourself on the record and proceed with your presentation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. For the record, my name is Matt Clayman, State House Representative for House District 21, West Anchorage. I would like to thank you all for hearing House Bill 36 today. The purpose of House Bill 36 is to strengthen Alaska's motor vehicle dealer license requirements without creating barriers to entry or restricting competition. Under current law, a motor vehicle dealer in Alaska must register biennially with the Division of Motor Vehicles by filling out an application, paying a $50 registration fee, and maintaining a surety bond of $50,000. These are lenient requirements compared to other states. For example, many states provide for a grievance process, grounds for revocation, and proof of a physical location. Many states also require dealers to obtain liability insurance covering bodily harm and property damage. Alaska's more lenient requirements make it easy for unscrupulous actors to obtain dealer licenses and gain access to dealer-only auctions where used cars are sold at discounted rates. House Bill 36 ensures that reasonable standards for becoming a dealer are in place, as well as adequate financial protections for purchasers should the sale not work out. House Bill 36 updates the surety bond requirement, which hasn't been changed in 20 years, to $100,000 to stay in line with current car prices and the economics of the automobile industry. Furthermore, it requires that dealers carry liability insurance. Though Alaska requires car owners to carry liability insurance, it does not currently require that dealers carry liability insurance. Dealer liability insurance is important, as dealers may allow uninsured drivers to take cars for test drives. House Bill 36 also limits ownership of persons who have been convicted of felonies for fraud or embezzlement within 5 years of the application date. Lastly, the bill requires dealers with employees to confirm that they are aware of Alaska's workers' compensation coverage requirements. The purpose of House Bill 36 is to establish reasonable standards for car dealer licensing and to reduce the potential for harm through increased bond amounts, mandatory insurance, and additional disclosures that will hold automobile dealers more accountable as business owners than under current statutes. With that, I will turn it over to my staff, Sophie Jonas, who will present a sectional analysis of the bill.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Sophie Jonas, and I'm staff to Representative Matt Clayman. House Bill 36 strengthens automobile consumer protection by requiring potential automobile dealers to follow a strengthened application process. Section 1 of this legislation amends AS 0866030 by requiring the applicant to provide a working telephone number for the business listed on the application, a written statement affirming that no person holding a 5% or greater interest in the business has been convicted of a felony involving fraud, embezzlement, or misappropriation of property within 5 years preceding the date of the initial application, a statement acknowledging that the applicant has reviewed the requirements for workers' comp insurance and will maintain workers' compensation insurance if it is applicable, and a copy of the liability policy certificate of insurance, which is further detailed in Section 3. Section 2 of this legislation raises the current bond amount required for auto dealers, as outlined in AS 0866060A, from $50,000 to $100,000. And finally, Section 3 of the bill adds a new section to AS 0866 that requires that dealers maintain liability insurance of not less than $50,000 for property damage, $100,000 for injury to a single person, and $200,000 for injury to more than one person. I would also like to inform committee members that we have Martin Martinson, who owns Continental Auto Group, and Marcus Whaler, who owns Red, White, and Blue Auto Sales, online for invited testimony. So if members could save their questions until after we hear from them, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have a preference as to who goes first between those two? All right. Well, we'll start at the top then. Mr. Martinson, if you could put your name on the record, please, and provide your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Martin Martinson. I'm the owner of Continental Auto Group in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm a board member of the Alaska Auto Dealers Association. Committee, thank you for hearing our bill. What Representative Klayman presented, it's very basic. And what his staff also just read, it's very short. We'll give you a little bit of background. 30 years ago when I got in the car business, most dealers had a place of business. There was brick and mortar, there was signs, there was a place to go. In the time since, we have had a large influx of dealers, and unfortunately, the standards have really, I think they've been abused a little bit. And what we're trying to accomplish with this bill is just get a level playing field, bring it up to what we think are realistic standards. If you look at the other 49 states, we still, even if this bill passes, we'll still have, in comparison, very lenient standards to achieving or to acquiring a dealer license. That being said, some of the things, the surety bond, just increasing it $150,000, that's really the only expense that would increase. And we're talking about a $500 to $1,000 increase depending on your credit. And but besides that, there's no monetary attachment to this. So we're not trying to increase the price of the dealer license. We're simply just trying to standardize the requirements. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Martinson. I think we're going to go to Mr. Whaler next, and then we'll take questions from the committee. Mr. Whaler, if you could put yourself on the record, please.
Hi, my name is Marcus Whaler. I'm the owner of Red, White, and Blue Auto Sales, for the record. I was the one, and thank you for hearing House Bill 36, by the way, but I was the one who initially brought my concerns to the Alaska Automotive Dealers Board. It's been about 7 years ago now. I've been in the business for about 25 years. And when I first began attending the auctions a little over 20 years ago, everybody knew each other who was there. It was all dealers who had brick and mortar stores and who were bidding and then, reconditioned their vehicles accordingly and put them up for sale. And in these past 7 or 8 years, the dealer body has become inundated with dealers who have, through our very lax dealer registration process, have become dealers and started attending the auctions. And with the advent of Craigslist and a lot of people selling on Craigslist, including dealers who advertise themselves as such, I started noticing vehicles that I was seeing going through the auction advertised on Craigslist, but they were being sold under the guise of a private party. So what we have is a lot of dealers now who are attending this auction, have a dealer's license, don't have any storefronts, but are then going on Craigslist and selling these as private parties. And I've started to see some of these vehicles come back in trade from people who bought them, and they've various mechanical issues, or they've been reconstructed and not disclosed until the people receive the title later. But anyhow, I started researching the dealer standards and requirements in the lower 48, and by far, Alaska has the most lackadaisical dealer registration dealer requirements in the country right now for a bond of $500 and I believe it's $150 registration fee. You can be in business as a dealer and operate and being able to attend these auctions and it's just the big issue is many of the people who are doing this are not disclosing themselves as dealers, do not have storefronts, and it's become a real consumer protection issue as well as hurting legitimate dealers who play by the rules. So we're just trying to bring some minimal standards to the industry that haven't existed since dealer licensing occurred decades ago in the state of Alaska. And I would like to tell one story. It's just a good example, and it's a personal experience that I had about a year ago now. But I had a gal who came in with a Subaru Tribeca, and I had seen this vehicle at the auction. And the reason I was able to confirm that is I have an app on my phone, and when I attend the auction, it scans the VIN code, and I can make notes on the car. Well, about a month after it was run through the auction, she came to my store wanting to trade it in, and we assessed its value, and she had told me she had paid $6,500 a few weeks earlier, and it wasn't running well. And so I looked at my phone, and sure enough, this had been a vehicle that had run through the auction. It had the oil light on. It had low oil pressure, which essentially means it needed an engine at the time. And so I ended up taking it in trade, putting it through mechanical inspection, and the oil indicator light had been removed. And when she was at my store, I'd asked her who she had bought it from. She said, from Craigslist, off a private party. And in the end, her vehicle, which she paid $6,500 for, was worth about $2,000. It needed an engine. And, you know, the sad part of all this was an 86-year-old woman who had purchased this vehicle off of Craigslist. So it's this type of abuse that we're trying to stop and by bringing some minimal standards to our industry. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Just a quick reminder to the committee members, we also have Jeffrey Schmitz, the director of the DMV, online if we have any questions for him as well. So with that, Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you, Marcus. Hey, question for you. The costs are pretty obvious. I'm assuming the doubling the bond is double the cost. So $1,000 there, still a $50 license. What is the cost increase for the insurance requirement on the 50, 100, and 200? Do you know that?
So it's going to depend on the amount of inventory that you carry for my insurance requirements, it's based on how many vehicles you have in inventory and how many employees and what exactly those employees do. But right now there is a stated insurance requirement, but we're formalizing it as part of this bill, making dealers acknowledge that they are responsible for having this coverage. So it's more bringing it to the forefront so everybody acknowledges that they know this if something were to happen and they didn't have insurance. But it's hard to say because the exact insurance dollar amounts would be all over the board depending on the type of dealership and size that you operate.
Okay, thank you. I can ask the DMV, I suppose, when we get to that point.
Representative Klayman, did you have a response to that as well?
Specific to the insurance, we've been in contact with Lori Winghire, Director of Division of Insurance. She's not here today because she has a competing hearing that she's kind of carrying the bill for the governor's office, but we would expect to have her at the next hearing. But the discussions with her in terms of the insurance for the typical insurance that a motor vehicle dealer would carry, her estimate for that was likely about $1,000 a year. And just for comparison, I also asked her to get some information on what's the basic cost for a driver to get liability insurance, and she said she'd get it back to us. But I was talking with my staff, Ms. Jonas, who's in her mid-20s, and I said, what are you paying for liability insurance on a six-month period? And her answer was $750 for 6 months. And so what that told me was that $1,000 estimate that Ms. Winghire gave me, but she can elaborate more when she attends the hearing. That was the likely cost to get insurance to a dealer at kind of the smaller size level. Of course, as you get more cars and more employees, that rate would go up. But the kind of as an entry level, she was suggesting about $1,000.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Martinson, Mr. Waller, you both, I think, made mention of a storefront. And I didn't see anything in the bill about it, but I got lost a little bit. What is the virtue of the storefront for, was it for protecting the consumer or for the interest of the state? What can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. This is Martin Martinson. I'm happy to answer that question. Through the chair, to the senator, the storefront is just I use that just as a reference. As when I was in the business 25 years ago, you had a lot of car dealers, wholesalers, but they had a store and they displayed cars. There were cars on their lot. They had signage. Hey, this is my company and come buy a car from me. That has since changed. It's changed dramatically. And Mr. Whaler had used an example. Now guys just purchase cars and they put them on Craigslist and they'll run it out of their home. They'll run it out, off the side of the street. They do not have a storefront. And the reason the storefront was I brought it up was because if you had an issue with a car that you purchased, then you could go back to that storefront, where this guy was located, and you could say, hey, you sold me a car, and, this car I didn't get the value out of the car that I expected. So you had some recourse. Today, there's absolutely no recourse. I mean, you don't even have a phone number. So you could buy a car. The guy doesn't even act like he is a dealer when, in fact, he is. And if you are a dealer, you have to present it. You have to say, I'm a dealer. And so these guys are shady, and they're saying, hey, here's a car for sale. When it's done, when he receives that money, he's gone. There's no phone number. You can't get a hold of him again, and it's over, and you're stuck with what you have. And so that's what we're trying to prevent.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yep, Senator Keel.
So, I appreciate the opportunity for the customer to have recourse. I'm thinking about a small dealer in my own community, does not operate with a storefront, has a website, has a great reputation, specializes in a particular niche in the car market. So maybe a question to the sponsor. The bill doesn't seem to go down the storefront type road. Are we comfortable what's the comfort level that the customer will have sufficient recourse with what's in the bill today?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, you're correct. There's no storefront requirement. I think if we tried to put in a storefront requirement, we would just call the bill dead on arrival. But the interest was to try to create some protections that become reasonable in the framework. And so by way of example, the bonding requirement is essentially a performance bond, so that if somebody doesn't deliver what they're supposed to, then the consumer has the ability to go and collect from the bond. So if you put the bond up and then something's fundamentally wrong with the car, you can pursue consumer protection remedies that would potentially eventually be satisfied by money coming out of the bond if the dealer wasn't there to pay. Because, of course, ideally the dealer pays out of their pocket and they never have to use the bond. The bond is the guarantee. So when the bond requirement was set more than 20 years ago at $50,000, that generally would get you about 3 used cars. Well, that today won't get you 3 used cars very reliably, especially for people that are actually trying to make a decent living through selling cars. So the biggest reason for increasing the bond is to make it reflect present economic realities, that if you're selling cars, the $100,000 should cover roughly 3 cars. Of course, if you're if you're dealing like my son who works in much smaller value cars, he could probably cover a lot more with $100,000. But in general, that's the goal, is to make that bond amount consistent with market realities and how many cars does it buy. And that's a part of protection. And then the second part of consumer protection is the insurance requirement, so that if an uninsured driver is test driving a car and there's an accident, then you actually have insurance coverage for the car while it was being driven. And so that, again, is a measure. That's not so much for the buyer to be confident, but more for the public to be confident that people who are selling cars are going to be have a basic level of what they're delivering to be in that business. Thank you.
Okay. One thing I think we need to put on record is, of course, there's a lot of people that flip cars as a hobby, as a side business, etc. Could you just lay out for us a little bit of the benefits and detriments to declaring yourself as a dealer versus not getting the license?
Sure. In current statute, which is not, there's no proposed to change it, the place where one becomes a dealer is if you're selling five or more cars a year, then you're supposed to get a dealer's license. But there are exceptions to that. So, for example, if you have another business that's your primary occupation, for example, Mr. Chair is a truck driver, you might sell 10 cars a year, but if you only make out of the 10 cars maybe $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, it's a lot less than we hope you're making as a truck driver. You wouldn't need to get a dealer license to sell more than five cars. I think the real dividing point in terms of getting the license is if you wanted to go to the dealer auction, so that you're actually getting access where the other professional dealers are getting access to more cars and usually lower prices. Then you'd need to have a dealer license whether you were going to sell one car or sell 100 cars. And I think that's the other part, is that the dealer license gives you access to the essentially closed dealer only auctions. But the people that are flipping cars kind of as a hobby and it's really not their primary business, those folks aren't going to be affected by this at all, because they really could, as long as they could show that they were not, that it wasn't their primary source of income or their primary business, they could certainly sell more than five cars and not be breaking the law at all, because, hey, look, you know, in your instance, I'm a truck driver. I just happen to buy and sell cars periodically.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Well, seeing none at the moment, we will go ahead and open up some public testimony on this one, on HB 36. So opening public testimony. Do you have anybody in the room wishing to testify? That would be a no. And I see no one online to testify. Is that correct? Okay. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and close public testimony on HB 36. That was nice and quick. Any further questions or comments before we close out for the day? Pretty short one today. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Representative Clayman, and that will be concluding our meeting for today. We will see you again on Thursday. That'll be our next meeting, Thursday the 15th. We'll be revisiting HB 36 and finishing amendments on SB 103. Amendments for HB 36 will be due to my office tomorrow at 5 p.m. And with that, I believe we're going to be adjourned at 2:02 p.m. Thank you.